We hear the word of God this morning from the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verses 7 and 8. Proverbs 3, 7 to 8. It's found on page 627 in the church Bible. And now to give you some context, here in Proverbs 3, we have a father speaking to his son. This is the wise counsel of a parent to a child. So for those of you who are parents of younger children, we can all take note of this, fathers in particular. This is the kind of instruction that we ought to be imparting to our children. Now, as we would expect, the father in this passage wants his son to live a happy, upright, and God-honoring life. He wants his son to make wise and God-honoring choices. For example, he wants his son to marry the right sort of person. He wants him to be prudent with money. He wants him to keep himself in the right sort of company and away from the wrong sorts of influences. He wants his son to live a happy, wise, and righteous life that is honoring to God. I hope that's what we all want for our children. And so in this section, we hear the father giving his son a number of important instructions. And as he gives these instructions in a very specific way, you'll notice he gives the instruction and then he shows his son what will happen as he follows the instruction, or what's supposed to happen. In other words, he points him to a blessing that will come as the instruction is heeded. Here's what you're to do. Here's what will happen if you do it. Here's the happiness that you should look to come to you. So let's look together at the instruction that's given in the text here. And the reason that we're going to look at this particular one is because it's absolutely foundational. If our children are going to live wise, happy, and God-honoring lives, this is an instruction that they absolutely must hear and take to heart. So let's look at the text together, Proverbs 3, 7 to 8. We hear now the word of God. Father says here to his son, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." As for the reading of God's word, let us pray together. Holy Father, gracious God, we thank you for your word, and in particular this morning, this book of wisdom, which is for our guidance and help as we seek to live in the world for your glory. We pray, Father, that we would hear the words of the passage and that your Holy Spirit would apply them to our hearts. We ask them this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, what is the life of a believer supposed to be like? What are the qualities that we should expect to characterize the life of a genuine believer? Or let me put it this way, what word or idea comes to mind when you think of a believer in the Lord? When I ask that question, perhaps the first thing that comes to mind is faith. When you think of a believer, you think of a life that is characterized by faith. This person would have faith in God. He has faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. He believes the gospel. Or another idea that might come to mind when you think of a believer is worship. A believer is a person who worships and serves the true and living God. He worships the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. One of the things that defines a life of faith is worship. A believer is a person who worships God. Or we might say that the life of a believer is a life characterized by discipleship. A believer is a disciple of the Lord. He follows the Lord. He is learning about the Lord. He is being instructed by the Lord. The life of a believer is characterized by discipleship. There's also another very important idea that we encounter, especially in the book that we are looking at this morning, the book of Proverbs. What does the book of Proverbs tell us about a believer? What is it that we hear about over and over again as Proverbs describes the life of a believer? We hear about the fear of the Lord over and over again. you go through Proverbs and through other parts of the Bible, it's made it very clear that a believer is a person who fears the Lord. One of the things that defines the true man of God or true woman of God in the Bible is that they fear God. Listen, for example, to Proverbs 19, verse 23, where it says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm." Or listen to Proverbs 14, 29. "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." Proverbs 23, 17. "Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day." What we see in Proverbs, as well as the Psalms and in a number of other parts of the Bible, is that the life of a true believer is characterized by the fear of God. Now, let me just say something about this. We hear that word fear, and for many people, that does not sound like a positive thing. For us, the word fear almost always has very negative associations. We associate it with being afraid or with danger. It's a negative thing almost always when we think about it. And what we have to recognize is that is not the case here. It's not the case when the Bible speaks in this way. When the Bible speaks of the fear of the Lord, it is speaking of a very, very good thing. This is a good fear. This is a right and appropriate fear. This is a holy fear, a fear that the Bible commends to us and requires of us. This is about a reverence for God because of who He is, the living God, the holy God, the one true and eternal God. The person who fears the Lord has reverence for the Lord. He recognizes that the Lord is holy, that He is almighty, all-powerful from everlasting to everlasting, that He is an awesome God, awesome in the old sense, in the truest sense of the word. This person who fears the Lord loves the Lord. He is loyal to the Lord. He humbles himself before the Lord. He submits to the word of the Lord. That's what the fear of the Lord is like. It's a good thing. And that is what is to characterize the life of a believer. And again, as we read the book of Proverbs, we see this being emphasized over and over again. Indeed, we hear about it right at the beginning of Proverbs in the verse that is foundational for the entire book. I'm speaking, of course, of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." What is the beginning? Brothers and sisters, what is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom? What is the key from a biblical perspective? What is the key to true knowledge? It is the fear of the Lord. If you want to be wise, if you want to have understanding, if you want to be on the right path in life, it starts with the fear of God. Children, if you're going to grow up being truly wise people, it begins for you as well with the fear of God. So right here in Proverbs 1:7, we see the importance and the absolute necessity of the fear of the Lord. And of course, this is the idea that comes to the forefront in our passage this morning. Here in Proverbs 3, we have this father instructing his son. And what does he tell him about? He tells his son about the importance of the fear of God. He says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, the father tells his son. That's his counsel to him. That's his desire for him. He wants his son to fear the Lord, his God. He wants his son's life to be marked by and guided by the fear of God. So let's look carefully at this instruction before us this morning. There are two things that we're going to see together. In the first place, let's look more closely at this particular instruction. Now, we've already seen that the father is instructing his son to fear the Lord, but I want us to look a little more closely at how he does this. You'll notice that the father begins this instruction by telling his son something that he is not to do. What does the father say that his son is not to do? He's not to be wise in his own eyes. That's what the Father says. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Now, you'll notice this is very much like an instruction that Paul gave to the Roman church in Romans chapter 12. In Romans 12, 16, the Apostle Paul says this, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Now, what is the idea here? Well, what Proverbs is speaking about and what Paul was speaking about in Romans is the kind of person who is pursuing their own path. He's pursuing his own way, and he's seeking to do it independently of God. This kind of person says, I'm going to do it all on my own. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do what I think is right. I'm going to make my own decisions. I know what's best. The book of Proverbs teaches us that true wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, but this person thinks he's doing quite all right apart from God. He thinks, I don't need the Lord to be wise. I don't need the Lord for a happy life. I don't need the Word of God. I don't need the godly instruction of my parents or other godly people in my life. I don't need to listen. No, this person wants to do what seems best to him. Like the children of Israel in the days of the judges, he does what seems right in his own eyes. He is his own authority. He's his own man. He is, in a sense, Lord of his life. It's his word rather than God's word that he looks to. He's not looking to the authority of God. He's not looking for godly instruction or counsel from other people. He follows his own way. He follows his own rules. And it all just seems fine. He thinks he's doing just fine on his own. He is wise in his own eyes. That's the idea that we have here. And that's, of course, been the way of many people. And what our Father is saying to his son in the passage is, don't be that way. Don't be that way. He pleads with his son, don't go down that path of seeking to be wise in your own eyes. Don't pursue your path independently of God. Don't refuse to listen to the word of God or to godly counsel. Don't act as if you were Lord of your own life rather than God. Don't act as if you know better than God and his word. Don't do it. Brothers and sisters, are we ever inclined to live in this way, even just a little bit? Are you ever tempted to be wise in your own eyes? Are you tempted to follow your own path rather than submitting to the Lord and following the path and the instruction that he lays out for you in his word? Are you tempted ever to do what you think is best, even though you know that it's not what the Bible teaches or what God would have you to do? Are you tempted to pursue a path that you know is different from the one in the Word of God? Listen to the words of the Father in the text this morning. He says, don't do it. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't build your foundation. Don't build on a foundation other than God and his word. Don't think that you can be okay if you pursue a path in which you're not looking to God. Don't think you can be okay if you're not submitting to his word and his authority over your life. Don't be wise in your own eyes, says the Father to his son. Well, then if the son is not to be wise in his own eyes, then what is he to do? Well, here, of course, we come to the heart of the instruction, which we began to look at earlier. Notice the last part of verse 7, where it says, the father says to his son, fear the Lord and shun evil. So there it is, the fear of the Lord. The father is saying to his son, don't be wise in your own eyes, rather fear the Lord and shun evil. You'll notice this in this instruction that there are two very, very different ways that are presented here. The father describes two completely different ways in which one could live. You can be wise in your own eyes, or you can fear the Lord. These are opposites. They're like day and night. They don't go together. When you're wise in your own eyes, to the extent that you're wise in your own eyes, you're not fearing the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, you're not going to be wise in your own eyes. It's an either or. These are two different things. If you're being wise in your own eyes, if you're pursuing your own path, you're not living in the fear of God. Two different ways in which people can live. You can be self-centered. You can seek to be Lord of your life. You can, in your own wisdom, pursue your own path, or you can live a life that is founded upon the fear of the Lord and submission to His word. You recognize that God is sovereign over your life, not you. You recognize that He is King, a good and faithful King, and you seek His good ways and seek to live in accordance with His word, knowing that that is the way for happiness. Those are the two ways that are presented here. Be wise in your own eyes, being wise in your own eyes, or fearing the Lord. Which one will it be for us, and which one will it be for our children? Parents, which way are we teaching our kids? Look at this passage. The father is pointing his son to this way. He is directing his son and encouraging his son in this path, the fear of God. He's saying, not this way, but this way. Not self-wisdom. Not independence from God. Don't do it your way. Fear the Lord instead and follow His path. Live your life, he's saying, live your life under the authority of God and His word. Live your life in obedience to Him and submission to Him. Live a life that is founded upon the fear of God. Those are the words of the Father. Fear the Lord. Parents, let me ask you, what do you want for your children? What do you want for them as they grow up? What is your hope for them? Is it simply a good job or making money? Okay, those things are okay, but above all, do you want your children to fear the Lord? Is that your hope for them? That your kids will grow up fearing God and loving Him above all? Are you teaching this to them? And are we encouraging our children and our young people in this direction? As we've already seen this morning, this is the very heart of the life of faith. It's the beginning of wisdom. The Reformed theologian John Murray wrote that the fear of the Lord is the very soul of godliness. The true believer, the believer fears the Lord. But then let's notice what else the father says in this instruction. He tells his son to fear the Lord and do what? To shun evil. What does it mean to shun something? It means you're saying no to it. You're turning away from it. You're turning your back on it and staying away from it. So what we see here is that with the fear of the Lord, there is to be also the shunning of evil. When a man fears the Lord, when a child fears the Lord, what will they do? They will turn away from evil. They will shun it. Now, let's think for a moment. Can you think of any person in the Bible who is described in this way? Can you think of a person who is described as fearing the Lord and shunning evil? There is one. There's one man in the Bible who is specifically described in this way. I read from Job chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, "In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil." He feared God and he shunned evil. That was Job. And again, this is simply language that is describing the way of the believer. This is not about works righteousness or doing certain things in order to gain God's favor. This is simply describing the life that flows from faith in God. When you're a believer, when you know the Lord and trust in Him, you fear Him and you shun evil. And it's important for us to recognize that these two things, the fear of the God and shunning of evil, always belong together. When you fear the Lord, you're turning from evil and sin. You turn from evil because you fear God. They go together. To fear the Lord means turning away from evil ways. It means turning away from disobedience, turning away from lawlessness, turning away from ungodliness, turning away from greed or from idolatry, turning away from self-righteousness. You turn from the away from the wisdom of this world in its opposition to God. To fear the Lord means that you will shun evil and sin. Now, do we do this perfectly? No, we don't. We will not do this perfectly. We still, of course, all sin and fall short. But when we fear the Lord, our response to sin and evil on the whole is going to be one of turning away from it and fleeing from it. It doesn't matter that other people are all doing it. It doesn't matter that the world is saying, look, this is what you want to do. It's fun. Come and join us. No, we know God, and we know that He is all wise and holy, and that His ways are good, and we fear Him. And because we fear Him, we turn away from the fleeting pleasures of sin. They might have their appeal. Sin can be tempting at times. And as I said, there are times where we will sin and fall short. And because of that, we who fear the Lord still always are in need of the mercy of God. The mercy of God and the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We always need our sins to be washed away by the blood of Christ. But still, the overall pattern of life is one of looking to the Lord, fearing Him, and turning away from evil. We turn away because we fear the Lord and we know the better path that is found in His ways. And so we turn away from the ways of sin and death. We turn away from the ways of the world. We turn away from evil. When you fear the Lord, with that goes the shunning of evil. And that is the instruction of this father to his son here in the book of Proverbs. That's his plea to his son. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Now, parents, let me ask you again, are you passing along this kind of instruction, this kind of word to your children? Are you following the example of the father in this passage and teaching your children this? Are we telling them, don't be wise in your own eyes? Don't follow the ways of sin that lead to death. Don't follow that path. Fear God. Fear Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Look to Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection. Look to the Savior who shed His blood for our sins and rose from the dead. Look to the Lord of glory who sits at the right hand. Serve Him. Follow Him. Fear Him. He's your joy. He's your portion. He's your God. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. Are we calling our sons and daughters to this? And are we seeking to model it for them in our own lives? Do our lives show that is the path that we are on? Fearing God and turning from evil. That's a message that we need. It's a message that our children need. May we faithfully teach it to them and lead them in this way. And then, what will happen? What will happen if we and our children live in this way? Well, that brings us to the second thing I want us to see this morning. First, the instruction, and now in the second place, we have the happy consequences that come as we heed this instruction. What will happen to the person who heeds this instruction by fearing the Lord and shunning evil? Well, let's listen again to what the father says in verse 8. He says, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. In other words, what he's saying is it will go well for you. It will, if you walk in this way, it will go well for you. It will mean happiness and blessing. Will it go well for us if we fear the Lord? Yes, it will. Will it go well for our children if they fear the Lord? Yes, it will. Now, the world is still full of problems, and we don't know what each day might bring, but ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, in light of eternity, it will go well if we are walking in this way that God lays before us, this way of faith and fear, godly fear. It will go well. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. It will go well for us. This instruction that the father gave his son was not intended to burden his son. The father did not give his son this instruction in order to place a burden on his child and make his life miserable. No, he's showing him the way of happiness. He is directing him away from the path that leads to misery and directing him to the way of happiness that flows from the fear of God and knowing the Lord. This is the way of the happy life, the joyful life. This is the life that the Lord has given his people through because of his Son, Jesus Christ, because of what Christ has done for us, a life of joy that flows from the fear of God. Yes, the ways of sin and death can be tempting. Sin always seems to promise good things. Being wise in our own eyes can look or have the appearance of being a good thing, but the ways of sin don't deliver. Sin doesn't bring the happiness that it promises. It doesn't heal the flesh or give nourishment to the bones, and it won't bring happiness to us. It won't bring happiness to our children. If our children do not learn of the Lord, if they don't learn to fear the Lord and walk in his ways, they will not ultimately be happy. Not in the way of happiness and blessedness that the Bible sets forth before us. Our children need this instruction. They need to be directed in this way for the sake of their happiness and well-being. They need to be told, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. May that happen more and more. So brothers and sisters, parents and children, let us hear the words of this proverb. May we together as the people of God fear the Lord and turn away from evil. May the Lord in his grace help us to walk in this path, for it is the path that leads to true happiness and joy. May the Lord by his grace and Holy Spirit help us to live in this way as we live by grace through faith. May the lives of each one of us be characterized more and more by the fear of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this word, which is not a burdensome word, but shows us, Lord, the way that you have for your people because of your grace in Jesus Christ, a way of faith, a way of the fear of God that leads to wisdom and blessing. Help us, Lord, to heed the instruction this morning and to live for the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we fear him and honor him. Amen.